we could do all things through Christ. In that manner, he introduced omnipotence to the world. Tonight we want to see omnipotence as a third principle. And we want to see it in a special way, not precisely the way Paul taught it. We want to introduce the idea which we will call the triple I. Hopefully you will remember it that way, and you will be aware whenever any degree of that triple principle is missing. You have come to the place where you recognize the omnipresence of Spirit, and you will be practicing with your Christ mind the recognition of that omnipresent Spirit. You'll know you're using your Christ mind when you recognize the presence of Spirit, because that is the nature of the Christ mind and not the human mind. And then, as you recognize the presence of Spirit everywhere, you will also recognize the perfection of that Spirit everywhere. And now, in the use of the triple I, you will recognize the power of that Spirit everywhere. So you have three facts. Spirit is present everywhere. The power of Spirit is present everywhere. And the perfection of Spirit is present everywhere. And because I am Spirit, in my Christ identity realized, I am the presence and the power and the perfection of Spirit. And that would be the equivalent of Paul's statement, I can do all things through Christ. If you will see it that way, you will find that the power of Christ in you is almost automatic. But first of all, the power is always on. You don't have to turn it on. And secondly, the power is always present. You don't have to go looking for it. And that brings up the question that many people ask themselves. Why do I not experience that power? Why am I unemployed? Why am I alone? Why am I so sick so frequently? Why am I so vulnerable? Why am I limited and lacking? All of the whys, and yet 20 and 25 years have gone into the study. I read about the power to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to raise the dead. Where is that power? That power is in you. And if you're not experiencing it, it's because of several factors that you must learn to recognize. That power is released in you when you obey the requirements for releasing that power. You can't have Christ's power in a human body. It's a waste of time. You can't have Christ's power until you accept your divinity. And many who bemoan the fact that Christ's power does not function through them have not accepted their divinity, perhaps intellectually. But think of it. You live in a physical world, that's not accepting your divinity. You live in a physical body, that's not accepting your divinity. And then you say, why doesn't the Christ power function through me? You just found out why. It's that simple. The Christ power functions through Christ. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your identity, you're not seeking the Christ power. You're seeking the fruits of the Christ power, and you can't have the fruits without the Christ. So tonight, we want to put some teeth into our understanding of divine law. The power is never outside of you. It's always available. It's waiting for your recognition of several vital facts. And the first mistake will be when you start to heal somebody. Your best friend is ill and you want to heal him or her. You've already embarked on a mistake. God's universe is perfect. You are calling God a liar. God never created an imperfection, but you want to create an improvement where God created nothing to improve. And so you're caught up in a paradox. It turns out that the healing has to be of yourself, not of your patient. You have to be healed. Your best friend has arthritis. And you have all the best intentions. And you start out running down the list of all the things you know. Nothing happens. You think your best friend has arthritis. In that manner, you have perpetuated the problem. Suppose we started out with a different kind of knowledge. Suppose we apply what I call the triple I. Your best friend, number one, is the omnipresent spirit. Omnipresent spirit does not have arthritis. You have a material friend instead of a spiritual friend. You'll have to make that change. You'll have to see your friend as the light of God. And you won't do that until you can see yourself as the light of God. Because if you're going to look out from an illusory body that you call yours, you're going to see one. You'll have to start with your own inner light, your own identity, and then accept the identity of your friend. And by this time, you'll find that you're quite aware that arthritis is impossible. That's only the first of the triple I. Spirit is perfect. Perfect spirit with arthritis. If your friend still has arthritis in your mind, You are declaring spirit to be imperfect. You've got to make that correction. You have a spiritual friend, and therefore you have spiritual perfection where that friend is. And yet, she seems or he seems to still have arthritis. So now we'll try the third point. One, the fact is that your friend is spirit. Two, the fact is that your friend is the perfection of spirit. And three, the power of spirit is present in your being as I, Christ, and in your friend's being as I, Christ, and the Christ of you and the Christ of your friend are one. By this time, you should be finding some inner response, some capacity to take no thought for your friend's life, some sense of harmony, because spirit has this way of conveying that harmony. And in this process, you'll reach that consciousness where you can look at the problem without fearing it, without believing it, without paying witness to it. And you can look through the problem. Now you'll have to do this several times before you get the hang of it. And you'll find that the power of spirit is in you. And I'm going to try a case now with you. A specific case. We're going to do it together. We're going to take as much time as necessary, because you will know when you have succeeded. We'll take Parkinson's disease. I want you to separate what is called a disease from the cause. Once you get into causes, you'll find you're going astray, because the only cause is God, and God is not the cause of any disease. So you don't have to work on the cause. You don't have to eliminate the cause. You have to treat yourself again. Treat your belief that there is such a thing. Let's begin with the Spirit of God. Now you remember at the start of this conversation we said you must declare your divinity. And so until you can realize yourself to be the Christ of God, the living Spirit of God, you're not ready. And that's what we'll be doing right now. Each of us is taking into consciousness the truth of our being. by Christ. How do I know I am I Christ? What else can I be? God is spirit. Is there a second? God is all. God individualizes as your being, your invisible self, which is called Christ. I, Christ, is the universal nature of the child of God. I, Christ, is the name of the one you started out to heal. Accept it. Rest quietly in the knowledge that I, Christ, here, I, Christ, there are one. Only I, Christ, am. This is not a 20th century I, Christ. This is an eternal I, Christ. This has been I, Christ, before Abraham. This will always be I, Christ. The light of God is on this earth, and you are that light, and your patient is that light. Dwell there. The power is on. God is running a perfect universe. There is nothing to change. Absolutely nothing to change. All that is awaiting you is the realization of the truth. Now, as we accept the universal nature of Christ, we must realize that there is no material body in Christ. There is no Christ and a material body. There is no matter to be healed. There is no human mind where the Christ mind is realized. There is only the Christ mind. There is no human mind to entertain the belief in a physical problem. That mind is excess baggage. The mind of God, the mind of Christ, are too pure, to behold iniquity. They have no opposite. Who is in this room now in your consciousness? Is there more than one? Is the Son of God sick, ill, troubled, entertaining a problem? We have one inhabitant. God. Infinite God. Pure eternal spirit. Without blemish. Is that our consciousness? Be ye perfect as your Father. The perfection of that one spirit is a universal truth. Is there a person? Or the infinite spirit? Are we double-minded? We now approach the power of iChrist. Which is the only power there is, and needs no power to correct evil, because it has never permitted evil on this earth. No power is needed to correct what does not exist. And now, can you enter your Holy of Holies? Can you be still? Can you drop all thought, all human thought? Can you think not? Can you trust God to run God's universe? You are approaching a very subtle line where thought will diminish and finally fade away. And you will cross that line. At that moment, you will not be mortal. And when you cease to be mortal, the problem will be over. The illusion of the problem will cease. We should develop the capacity to synchronize all of the necessary ingredients of that meditation into less time. We were drawing them out so that we could see them, spread them out on the table. But we must go into it in such a way that they all move together quickly. You're in the vacuum. You're not honoring the flesh. And you are the living Christ. Without separation from the Father. In that oneness, the power will express to the degree that you have found the purity of no thought. Again, there's another fine line that we wish to avoid. We have, in this particular case, decided on what result we were after. We want to learn that when we go into a meditation with the purpose of expressing and being a transparency for divine power, that we do not outline to the power where and what to do. And there's no excuse and no way you can wriggle around to get across what you want to be done without losing it. There's no way for you to decide what should be done without losing it. There's no way for you to say, well, why shouldn't God do this or that? It doesn't work that way. And if you want to try it 10 or 20 times and discover that for yourself, you're free to do so. But you do not go in with a purpose Your only purpose is to realize the perfect presence of God. And when you do, the problem dissolves. When you don't, the problem remains. It's easier to see how you enter into it with your human will when you go into a problem and say, this is the job I want, Father, not that one. And then, although that sounds right to you, it's simply a human way of acting. It has nothing to do with divine power. Now, these are still human problems. The power of spirit has greater purposes than to diminish our human problems. To us, if we have the problem, it's quite important. Spirit doesn't acknowledge our problems. Spirit's purpose is to open your spiritual eye to see, to experience, so that you may inhabit the kingdom of God. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he was not outlining what spirit should do. He was simply knowing that spirit always does whatever is necessary to be done in its own way. That spirit says, "My grace is thy sufficiency in all ways." And the wiser we become spiritually, the more we submit to that grace. So that we finally transcend the need to outline what we want the power of God to do. You'll find that spirit is available to assist you in whatever you desire that is of a spiritual nature. If you wish more spiritual knowledge, spirit will assist you. If you wish to solve life's problems spiritually, spirit will assist you. If you wish to make decisions spiritually, spirit will assist you. Whenever you are willing to turn to the spirit and say, "Thy will be done," you will find that spirit will express in such a way that whatever is done will be beneficial to you and those who are affected by the decision and the power. Spirit is really the power that King Solomon displayed. And there are many issues in our life every day that require spiritual vision. And when you're willing to lay your life down and put it in the hands of Spirit, you find those decisions are always made in such a way that even though your human sense mind may not quite understand them at the time, they can see into the invisible dimensions, Spirit can, and in time you will notice that Spirit had made decisions that you could not humanly make with the knowledge at your disposal at the time. The power never turns off, even when you don't see it. Your spiritual integrity requires you to know that the power is on. God is running that perfect universe. And you must get into a position where you can become aware of that power. When Jesus was asked to submit to the cross, he would not have made a successful transition at that point if he had resisted Pilate, or if he had seen Pilate as a human being. It was his spiritual integrity of seeing Pilate as the Spirit of God that permitted him to make the perfect demonstration. And you, even while you may be suffering from some kind of a disturbance, when your spiritual integrity enables you to still maintain the truth in consciousness, you will find that you are passing the test. And even though Pilate might seem to have his way, you're passing the test in what you are doing will bring forth in you the spiritual qualities necessary for your demonstration. If you are willing and are capable of maintaining the knowledge that you are Spirit, that the power of Spirit dwells in you, and that the perfection of that power is ever present, you will find that the Spirit will answer that form of righteousness in a way that is not human, and therefore is not what a human would do, but in a way that perfectly expresses an activity in your life that is necessary for you. I would like to continue in the treatment with the triple I. You're going to find it very useful. You can do it with mundane things or with grandiose things. We'll stay on the mundane for a moment. It may not be inspiring, but it's educational spiritually. We'll take unemployment. The minute you feel that you are unemployed, you have lost your demonstration. There's no such thing exists in the kingdom of God. That's where you should be living, because that is the only place spirit can live. We're not talking now about human beings. We're talking about you. And so there's no more of an opportunity for you to ever be unemployed. You can never be sick. Oh, you can appear to be. You can appear to be unemployed. But you can never be what spirit cannot be. And you must know this. You can never lack. You can never be limited, even though you appear to be. And you must know this. That's the difference between spiritual awareness and lack of it. You can never have arthritis. You can never even have pain. You can have the belief in pain, the belief in arthritis, the belief in any disease. But it won't be a true one. If you analyze it spiritually, you'll see, for example, that arthritis or unemployment are just different forms of hypnosis, both believing that you are a physical being. In one you have pain, in one you have an economic problem. But it's this physical human being who has the pain or the problem. Now, to heal pain, it's a waste of time to heal pain in matter. You cannot. It's just as much a waste of time to try to heal unemployment in matter. You cannot. You cannot heal it because it isn't there. I think it can be explained a certain way that would make you see it. A simple way. Let's say you're on drugs and you're hallucinating. And we'll take the simple branch of a tree that to you looks like a snake. Now you want to get rid of that snake. You're afraid of it. You want to remove it. It disturbs you. And now, you not only believe that you see a snake, you believe your fear. That's another complication. So you're now on a pyramid of reaction. And this pyramid of reaction continues because now you want to resist the snake. And to your dismay, when you resist it, it doesn't go away. You say, well, maybe if I don't resist it. And to your dismay, when you don't resist it, it doesn't go away. Neither resistance nor non-resistance remove it. All because what you see, you believe, and your mind is controlled.